few years it's been so cold every winter, but we thank God. Do you feel it's not too cold now? It's like, so it's so, I'm so blessed, you know, like whenever I saw, you know, the people putting, you know, blankets over their legs and like, you know, doing this, you know, 1 hour freezing and all that, I feel so bad, like, you know, Lord, why? And, you know, you feel comfortable, you feel, you know, good. So I feel so blessed. I feel so happy. This one is a bit wobbly, so I'm going to change. And I want to really thank you. It's so good to be back home. Good to be back. And thank you so much for your prayers, you know, standing together. It's been so good. 2 weeks, you know, out of home. Kind of, I think it was first time I was out by myself. I normally go with the team. But because of your prayer, I really felt the prayer of the people, and I was more like watching what God was doing. Many wonderful things God has done. I can't share everything here with you. I'll share some snippets here and there, and I thought some encouraging stories I picked up from watching people. You know, when you go out to different countries and see, you know, church, there are a few things that really strikes you. And one of the things is that it's amazing how blessed we are here. In Australia, you almost go anywhere in the world, we have unusual material blessing here, and even environmental blessing. We have so much here, God's really brought good people here in this church. I thank God for that. I really thank God for each and every one of you. You are so special, because I go and see, you know, meet many people, many pastors suffering and woes and, you know, challenges that they face. I really thank God for you. And, every one of you are so precious. God has brought the best. That's what I believe. God has brought the best in this church. And I'm so blessed to be here serving together. And there are many things that we can learn from others. Some places, they are so poor, yet they have such great sense of community and sharing that we in the West, very, very easily, we can forego or lack, because there is so much sufficiency here that we are not as dependent, I guess, on God if we don't watch out. There are things that we really have to watch out. And I want to share some things there and just really thank you for your prayers, because I know you've been praying. I know on Friday night, I know you've been praying all night, like, you know, 10 o'clock to 5 a.m. You know, I sent some emails and stuff that I've been facing and the things that God needs to do in the churches and so on. And you've been praying, you know, singing over the congregations that, you know, I was going to minister. And wow, the breakthroughs that God brought was just amazing. I can't, again, share everything, but I want to share some of the highlights with you. So, Lord, we just thank you for, why don't we just take 1 second to look around, look at each other. Do you thank God for each other? What is that look? Some people are like, Do you thank God for the person sitting next to you? Do you thank God for one another? We should never take each other for granted. Yeah? We really have to appreciate, love, invest, and thank God for one another, yeah? We need to open our hearts and love one another, embrace one another in the love of God. It's so important. So, Lord, we thank you for one another. Thank you for the wonderful work you are doing here in this community, in this family of GI. Lord, we are not perfect. We are on our way, Lord. We are in the process of becoming more like you. And Lord, we pray that you increasingly transform us, oh God, into your image. And we pray, Lord, that all that your hearts desire, you said that you will be one as I and the Father are one. Lord, I pray that a prayer of Jesus Christ be fulfilled in our midst as well, as you fulfill this prayer all around the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me at the back? No problem. Okay, good. So, how many are from Malaysia? Put your hand up. Woohoo! For the first time, I've been to Malaysia, so I'm praising God. I think we've got a lot of Malaysians. I'm Korean. We've got a lot of Malaysians. For some reason, I don't know why God put it in such a way. that, you know, you don't have a Malaysian pastor, you have a Korean pastor. And I wanted to always go to Malaysia because Mia, when she was, before we married, right? Is it before we were praying together, and Mia is saying, like, I like Malaysians. You know, I want to work with Malaysians. God, give us Malaysians. This is how many years ago? 30 years ago, 20, whatever. We've been married for like 20-something years, like 20, you know. So, wow, and look, we got so many Malaysians, and Singaporeans, and Sri Lankans, and a few lonely Koreans here, and Australians, and, you know, Malta, and, you know, South Africa, and all these. Well, how many are from Penang? Woohoo! How many recognize this? This has been a kind of a waste place. No one was there. So lately, when you were in Penang, probably the place was not known. Since then, on just a wall, somebody drew this picture, and then people began to come and take photographs, and people began to come to have a look, and the throngs were coming, and suddenly the whole place got developed. So it's very famous. So I've been there and took a photo there in Penang. Now, I mean, you know, there's just people line up to take a photo, even, you know, during the daytime. So whole place just got built and become famous. Yeah, so it's kind of now city center in Penang. So maybe I know a little bit more than you about Penang. This is Malaysia, Mesot. How many been to Mesot? Thailand? Quite a few of us. I've been there 5 years ago as a church for the first time. Since then, I haven't been there, but a number of people have gone back and forth, built relationship there, and this is how they live. When you go to Penang, tall buildings, very clean, like Australia. Quite rich, I think. But here, it's pretty much like this everywhere. And Mesot is in the Burma, in the border of Burma and Thailand, and a lot of Burmese are working there. Illegal workers, and when they work all day, it's very hard to get a job like that, but if you work all day as a Burmese, if you're illegal, you get 200 baht. Not 200 of these, but it's their currency. About 24 baht is $1. So you work all day, you get about, what, $8 in Australian dollars? And if you have proper legal paper, average working, you know, all-day work is about 300 baht, which is about $12. So they're not, by any stretch of imagination, rich people. And this is all the rubbish there, and that's houses. It's, again, in the border. That's how they just, you know, this is kind of a no man's land. And there is a river flowing right in between the border of Burma and Mesot, and there is a bridge, and the processing government, what do you call those, immigration, not so much immigration, but for work permit and so on. People who come through properly have to pay. But right next to proper, you know, channel, there are boats, and the people just come in and out. They pay like nothing, like just pay, you know, boat fee, like 10 baht per person. So what is it? Maybe 20 cents or something like that. Come across, work all day, and cross the river. And no one stops it because it's their livelihood. If you actually stop it and force the law, many of them will not be able to survive. So that's that you know, area they live. There's a rubbish dump, and they have this border wall, kind of not really tall wall, but kind of a marker. And from the Burma side, because Burma side is poorer, economically, they built this kind of a bamboo little hut, and they have all kinds of things like cigarette and, you know, alcohols and some food and a lot of drugs that are probably not like Panadols that you can buy, but different types of drugs. what they do is they just people walk across, and this is the kind of a border, so they built this hut so they can get the money and pay, you know, people can buy all this stuff from Burma with Thai money. But because you're still legally in Burma side, there is no tax. There's nothing police can do. They can do sell whatever they want to sell, make a living. There's a lot of bad things happening there, prostitution and all kinds of things happening there. But because they're legally on Burma side, police can't do anything. So they sell like this and exchange money all around. Like, you know, you can walk for like, you know, hundreds of meters. It's a, you know, stalls all across. It's quite incredible how people make living. Once again, when you go there, because, you know, you can, we can go. The church really opened their hearts for us. You just go and have a, if anyone is suffering from depression here, if anyone feels like you're doing very badly in life, I invite you, just come and spend 1 week there and see how they live. All the rubbish there. So that gets mountain and they move on to the, you know, little bit, you know, they can just leave their house and move to a newer ground and then start all over again. It's incredible. It's incredibly heartbreaking just to see. And they need gospel there as well. So you could have, the difference between you and them is where they were born. It's not because you worked, you know, 200 times harder, you are like, you know, 500 times richer. It's nothing to do with that. It's that you were born here, and God had chosen you to be born here, and God also wants them to hear the gospel and the good news, just like you and I have. All right, so next slide, my son. That's good. Did you just do that? No? Okay, doesn't matter. This is Penang. So I went to Tabernacle of Worship through Anthony, connected me. Pastor there is kind of a second cousin of Lei Li. I just found out this morning. Incredible. So I, you know, ministered there. Do you remember this man, Pastor Cornelio? He was here a few times. He's coming back next month to minister on one of the Sundays. Veteran minister and missionary. Just an incredible story of what God did and God is doing. He lost his wife just about a year ago, so he took a year off, and he's starting ministering again. So it was really good to just spend time with him and just to share the stories, encourage him. It's hard. Even though you're like, you know, mighty man of God, going all around the world, doing incredible things, you know, it's still very, very hard. And I'm sure we will just be a blessing when he comes over. So I went to this church, and this is the church. We ministered there. And I want to say, just, you know, went there, and I just felt your prayers. I really mean it. I'm not just saying it. Your prayers, because you sent me. Sent me, and your heart was with me, that I wasn't there by myself. I always, before I minister, says I greet you, you know, on behalf of the body of Christ, GI, in Australia, Sydney. So we carry the blessings from them, from us to them. And I have to say the Lord just moved very, very beautifully. The Spirit of God was moving very powerfully. So I think in my memory, probably the first time people responded, came out for altar call, and I didn't even touch them. I know it happened before, but I didn't even touch them. People were just, Spirit was just touching them. They're falling under the power of God. You know, some were falling backwards, some were falling on in front of me, some were sideways, and, you know, all kinds of stuff that was happening, tears, and, you know, it was very, very wonderful. The service went way beyond normal time, and we just almost couldn't eat lunch to go to the next, you know, evening service. So thank you, the Lord did just a very, very beautiful thing there. And I believe the people there were touched. This man, his name is Moy. When we were praying for him, he had some really bodily reaction and all that. In the evening, went to Pastor Andrew's church in Penang on the other side of island. Next slide. Pastor Andrew also was here. This man, Pastor Andrew. How many remember Pastor Andrew? He was here a few times. So this is his home. This is his house. about four doors down is his church, where they meet for, you know, Chinese outreach. So I had a wonderful time ministering there as well. And he took me out for dinner. We had a very good time there. Wonderful, wonderful service everywhere. On the way, I talked to this man. His name is Moi. So in the car, I felt something. And I said, okay, this morning was praying. You had a very strong reaction. Do you know what it was? And he said, yes, I know. So what is it? He said, I need to get rid of something from inside. So okay, just, all right, good, good. Just took a note. And then next morning, I'm really tired. Came home really late. Slept and wake up, come in the morning. And this is Angie, Pastor Angie. She actually was in our church also. Probably no one remembers. Lely remembers. She was here briefly. I stayed with her home. And Pastor Cornelio also has a room in her house. I want to talk about her life a little bit as well, because I think it will encourage us. Now, I get up in the morning. I come down, trying to have a breakfast. And Pastor Cornelio is leading a Bible study with two young men. And one of the young men were in psychiatric hospital and sedated. And he is beginning to hear this voice. He's living with his grandma and him. And then this voice telling him, kill your grandma and then kill yourself. So this is unbelieving family. Grandma got so scared, she's looking for help. I think grandma is kind of Christian, but couldn't find help, so came to Angie and Cornelio. Cornelio, I think, fasted for a few days, and with Angie went to see him, see the young boy. His name is Joseph, in psychiatric hospital, and then he didn't waste any time. He said, you're hearing the voices? Joseph, you don't have very long. If you start hearing the voices, Satan has locked you in. And unless you make some radical changes and make some decisions, he's going to kill you. You don't have very long. You need Jesus. Would you receive Jesus? He said, yes, straight away. Pray for him, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, start praying in tongues. They're praying, and then he's got released for just 1 week. Came back and doctor checked everything. His eyes, pupils and things have actually changed a bit. So they released him. Now, so he wants to come back home to his grandmother, but grandmother is very afraid of him. One night she might, you know, wake up with a knife, you know, just coming down on her. So she can't kind of take her grandson back. So this lady has took him. And this man is ministering, teaching the word of God. It's incredible, isn't it? How many would like to take back a young man, 19-year-old boy, who is hearing voice with a knife, kill him? But he's saved, praise God. But like, you know, kill him, but he's saved. There's a lot of risk factor involved. She took him in. When I went there, the young man was there for about a week. So, and also this man, his name is Noi. He also joined in from Thailand. It's the same problem, drug addiction and so on. So he was there for about a week in her house to get some spiritual nourishment and some rest. So I was there. So they're doing Bible study. So I just brought my Bible and I just follow and, you know, just pray for two young men and so on. After some time, Pastor Cornelio said, you know, Pastor Paul, do you have something to say? So I just began to say some things like, really just focus on the love of God, saying a few things about the love of God. And interestingly, this man began to yawn and then begin to have a, you know, like twitch and then trying to throw up and all started manifesting. This thing was, you know, stirred up. So there was another young lady, Christian lady. Her name is Melinda. She just went out to get, because he's about to throw up and began to manifest, trying to get a plastic bag to help him, just to throw over the plastic bag, don't mess, you know, make mess of all the stuff, you know, like put the plastic bag there. She was coming to help him, and this lady began to throw up. So both of them were just going through all that. But it took about, I think, 10 to 20 minutes. Just peace came over, normal reaction, all wonderfully delivered. So next day, we are out there taking some photos. I said, okay, no, how do you feel? Did you get rid of it? He says, yeah, completely got rid of it. No more. So still, you got to walk out. I'm not claiming, you know, you will never have any more problem. But I just thank God for the presence of God that was there. Just the Lord's Spirit seems to have fell on this young man. And on the day I was leaving, yeah, he was asking me to reach out to his non-believing friends in Sydney who is working in the restaurant. And it was just beautiful, you know, just come to Thailand. And I was going to Thailand anyway, but I didn't have time for, you know, where he's coming from and the church is there. So I just want to thank you for all your prayers. It's just I'm watching. God, what are you doing? Like, you know, I wish more of that everywhere in here. But your prayers, I think when you send someone, they carry something of the purpose of God and the presence of God. And, you know, God begins to work. People get set free. And this lady, I want to talk about this lady, Angie. Because I asked her, because she has such an encouraging story. I said, can I share your story? She says, go ahead. About 13 years ago, she married a rich man. This man, left her for, you know, his hairdresser. So she's left with two young children. She doesn't have any money, no support. Even though in law you can get support, there is a way around. There can't be, you know, she really, there kind of can be end up in the streets. So she's trying to commit suicide. And somebody shared the gospel. And she came to the Lord. She had that turnaround from, she could have been dead, really dead, on the way to total destruction. Life is completely hopeless. Like, you know, what can a young woman do with two young children, no skill, no life skill? But the Lord was with her. So she really turned. She said she gave her life to God. Her motto is put God first in everything. God first in everything. All her life, everything that she has, her time, you know, the gifts, money, even children and children's education, she put God first. Instead of putting children first and their education first. God, honor God, whatever you do. And all the children's doing well. God really blessed her. She's got this big house. And the house is now used like this. So many people got saved in her house. Because the house is like a church, 24/7 open. After church service, we come home. Like there are already people like cooking and eating and fellowshipping and Bible studying and singing. And some people have the key to our house. They're already there. Like, you know, oh, did you know? And so, no. They, you know, they got the key and they're already there. People come through, so many people, ministers, they come through her house. She just, you know, takes care of them. And, you know, people like, you know, when they need help, you know, drug addicts and so on, they just come to her house. And she provides place. And she does it by faith. She didn't have an income. And she's been serving like that. Many years, you know, later, her ex-husband had a baby girl with a, you know, new wife, but the child unfortunately had a leukemia, child leukemia. And the son, both of them are walking with God, very blessed, doing very well. And the son wanted to donate his bone marrow. Anyway, cutting the long story short, unfortunately, you know, the baby daughter didn't make it. And this ex-husband had a stroke. So he's now been in a vegetative state. He can't move at all. But the children forgave. children come to see him and they preach the gospel. The son and the daughter that he threw out. Didn't care, no support to live with this hairdresser and have a child. Son wanted to give his bone marrow and they came to share the love of God and he accepted Jesus. And I'm thinking, wow. And she says, I forgave, I move on. And her pastor began to trust her so much when the church was going through some upheaval. Pastor Joshua said, I really trust you. I want you to become a pastor of this. No theological training, just helping out here and there, serving everywhere. It says, like, I know many has some ministers there, but you know what? You're the one I trust. You really love the people and the church. May not be able to preach well, doesn't have great, you know, theological education and degree, whatever. But I trust you. You love the people. So overnight, she became a pastor. Some kind of a meeting on Friday, you know, like Friday or Saturday, emergency meeting. And the next morning, you know, so she's been serving. Now they got Pastor David. She's also still serving there in, like, many, many years since her salvation. Very faithful, very faithful. That just story really touching me, humbles me. It blesses us, isn't it? Maybe I got to move on. I wanted to tell this story as well. This little short lady. I'll have a short. She's this short. Her voice is like, ah, yeah. She's like a little, like a six-year-old. Very beautiful face, very beautiful. Her husband had a stroke. Again, came to the Lord about the same time as Angie. After Angie. Yeah, so they are good friends. They live next door to each other, almost. Same, home group. About 13 years ago, her husband had a stroke and couldn't work. And then in that state, vegetative state until now, she's been a housewife for many years, no skill, and she inherited a lot of debt. Business dead. So again, two women at the crossroad. Should we do this? But they all received the gospel about the same time. So she began to turn around. And it's amazing. This little girl, it's the Spirit of God. Became a CEO. She built a company, a really successful company. So she's a CEO. She really talks like a little girl, but boy, she moves the mountains. She cuts a big deal, and I mean, 13 years with no training, nothing, zero. And she really needed. She's still supporting her husband with two maids, you know, coming in and out, bedridden. But she, you know, loves him. Not that he was very, very good husband, but she loves him. She became Christian. I mean, and then a year ago, God spoke to her, you know, I want you to let go of your work and serve more. So she immediately gave away the business, sold it, you know, far less than what it is. She just wants to obey. I mean, wow, there are people like this all over the world. It's incredible. How many would do that? So anyway, move to the next one. I think it's really inspiring, don't you think? Malaysians. Whoa, I love Malaysians. We need more Malaysians. Like that. So she's called a little dynamite, you know. She's called little dynamite. She can do a lot, even though, you know, you almost mistake her for like 6-year-old, but she's actually over 60, nearly 70. Here is a propeller aeroplane. I hate propeller aeroplane. I like jet. Propeller aeroplane just does this a lot, you know. So this one was my connecting flight. I actually told a few people to pray because my connecting flight, only one connecting flight from Bangkok to Mesot is only 1 hour 25 minutes. So it's very tight. I look at the internet. If you don't have luggage, you run. God bless you. You'll catch it. So I, by faith, bought the ticket, and you know, I asked for some prayer because this one is stressing me. You know, I always have about 3 hours, and so far, I mean, no late flights and so on. So I'm praying, you know, surely God knows. Surely God knows it'll be okay. Now, you know, in a connecting flight, I'm in the Don Mueang, Bangkok, you know, airport. Sorry, I'm coming to Bangkok airport from KL. Sitting there, okay, my flight time, no airplane. I don't see airplane. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh my God, it got delayed for the first time by 1 hour. Delayed by 1 hour. Why? Maybe God has a plan. I'm saying, of all, why? I'm saying like, no, why? So I land there. I got how long? About 25 minutes to make it. Go from international airport, you know, move to the, you know, the transfer, domestic flight. I'm running, running, running. Until my legs couldn't run anymore. My heart is running, but my legs doing this. And I told all the people, like, you know, I got 10 minutes, please let me through. They let me through quickly without checking my bags and things. And I'm just, I got to the counter, I, you know, cut and crawl as I gave them, this is my booking, my flight is late, this is a non-connected flight because it's, you know, cheaper that way also. This is, you know, I got 7 minutes exactly before aeroplane takes off. I think 7 or 8 minutes. I'm here, you know, can you hold a plane? And she looks at me, boom, gives it back. Ah, thank God. The aeroplane, that flight also got delayed by 40 minutes. I knew it. So, you know, never have I been so happy for delay. So thank you. I mean, you know, I was sure I was going to stay overnight and by the next, you know, day flight and so on. But I still made it, yeah. So I ran. I actually had a 10 minutes rest, drink some water and get on. So praise the Lord, I got into Mesot. So this is Pastor Joseph. So a few of you met Pastor Joseph, right? And that's his wife, Aku. And this is the goat, about 6 hour old goat. On the day, they had two goats there. And they have four other children that are not their own living there. So it's kind of communal. If your brother, sister is not well or something happens, you just pass on your children to your next kin, and they take them and raise them. So four extra, and then another boy had a lot of trouble from the parents, couldn't live at home anymore, so they just take him. So they got, you know, their own two sons plus two other children living in the same house. This is Pastor Moses and her daughter, Victoria. Pastor Moses, you also met. So they came out. Wonderful meeting. Next slide. This is Pastor Joseph. We've been supporting him for 2 years for church plant. And he's got, he's teaching 5 young men for Bible study. So he's got Bible study on Wednesday night, on the day that I arrived. And then Tuesday night, they have a Bible study for the young ladies. About 4 young ladies come together to study Bible for about an hour. And the next day, he took me to a little village for outreach. So these people are not Christians. In a little bamboo hut. Can you see the floor? So you can fall through, literally. They're all gathered there to hear the gospel, good news. Whatever it is, they just got there. They got a few strange food there and some drink. So we all sat in a little house, little hut, probably about this big, and about 30 people are all packed in there, and I'm supposed to say hi and introduce myself. Suddenly, I get this feeling I gotta share my testimony of salvation. I share, and that young man asked a lot of questions, very interested, and afterwards, he wants to take a photo, so we took a photo. They all heard good news, But we didn't make any, I guess, you know, press for any decision because they got a lot of questions to figure out. But he's very interested. Next one. And then in the crowd on my right, this man, how old do you think he is? He says, suddenly he's just smiling all along, I'm sharing. He's saying, you know, I've got 11 children. I had 13 children, but two died. So I got 11 children. 11 children by one woman. So he's smiling, he's happy, he brings out his drink, which is very special. It's so funny, one of the, like the mother of the house will just walk around with a big cookie jar and give like two or three cookies to everyone. Children, and they're eating, they're hearing. Just notice that man, he was very happy. And he's got, you know, 11 children. I took note of him. And we moved on. Next one. Last 5 years ago, I was in Meso Church. It was Bamboo Church. How many have seen that church? This is the newly built church. Did you, was it there? Like when you, it was Bamboo. Probably Bamboo. Now they built a new brick church. And this is the door. This is a Sunday service. So praise God. So much have changed. Walked in on Friday morning. Moses, Pastor Moses welcomed me. Immediately organized a special seminar and teaching sessions all day, Saturday, Sunday. And I walked around house to house. It's incredible. The people over there, they really remember you. Went there for a few days, like 3 days or 2 days, 3 days, over, you know, weekend teaching. As soon as I walked in there, little girls are saying, do you remember me? I gave you the flower. The little girl that gave me flower. She was grown up, but they remember. Every I went to house to house, they said, hi, go there, whoa. They all remember you from 5 years ago. Incredible. Do you remember so visiting speaker who preached and then went 5 years ago. So we were so happy, worked together, took a lot of photos, and then say hello. And then on the day we left, 5 years ago, two young men, next Nathan, two young men were going out to Burma to spy out the land. And the Zomin, this is a Zomin. No, not that one. Where is Zomin? Okay, doesn't matter. Zomin is somewhere. This guy are there, and now they are pastors, assistant pastors. They went to 3 months Bible college for a few years. They become pastors. Zomin and Momin. And as soon as we walked in, the next slide is saying, he said something like, yeah, that's Zomin. It's Momin. And Zomin said, wow, it's so good to see you, Pastor. You know, you said, you know, go and preach the gospel. He said, we are ready to go back. Wherever God calls us, we are ready to go and share the gospel. We are ready to serve God. And when he just said that, it was translated. My hair was standing up like this. Oh, electricity was going up and down, up and down. And I'm going, oh, I'm going goosebumps. You just said that. And then this is Aku. Aku said, yeah, I get goosebumps too. So I took a photo. This is her arm. I thought goosebumps is just a matter of speaking. But literally, she had goosebumps. Can you see that? So I took a photo. These people are ready to go and serve. It's incredible. But 5 years have passed. Now, back in those days, there was no electricity. So at night, you know, we bought some night lanterns so they could walk among the in the field. So make sure they don't get bitten by a snake, things like that. And there was no water, no electricity. Now they've got a solar panel. Electricity also come in. They had to buy a bottle of water all the time, but now a water line also came in. So life has changed. These two young men who went to spy out the land became assistant pastors, serving the church and community. And lots of young people, even the, you know, I remember a young boy like this was really good at dancing, break dancing. I saw him, he's about this tall, and he's got muscle, like, you know. Are you the same boy? He says, yeah, you danced. So, all grown up, and they're doing wonderful, wonderful work. Next one, yeah. This is Sunday service. You know all these people who lifted their hands? They said, ah, you know, who remember, you know, Paul from 5 years ago? So they all bring their hands up. About 70-80% all put their hands up. The rest are kind of new. But it's kind of children's church. Can you see how many children they have? Yeah. Okay, the next one. It was wonderful, wonderful. Presence of God and the powerful, powerful stuff has happened. They may be poor, but they have a very, very strong community. This is something that I felt we can learn. Every Sunday, you know, the service lasted, guess how many hours? 4 hours, 9:30. But before the service, we had a baptism there. That young man wanted to get baptized. So I got into this really muddy water. There's fish living there. Almost fell into it. They are making fun of the young boys wearing, I don't know, this sarong kind of thing. And one of the elders said, do you have anything underneath? He said, no, because the men don't wear anything underneath, just a sarong. They offered me sarong. I said, I gently refused. Because when you get into the water, sarong will go. So, okay, I'm happy with my shorts. So they were all having a laughter. Baptism starts, service starts at 9:30, finished at 1:30, because I had a kind of long teaching as well, and the program of young people, children, still dancing, 1:30, 4 hours, service finished, and they all, every Sunday, they collect 15 baht from each family. So how much is it? About 60 cents per family. They shop, and they have a communal food. They cook, and their communal kitchen is, they dig a ground. So there's a hole, you put a pot, there's a hole, and you put wood in there, fire up. And you know, kill your goat, kill your, you know, you pluck all these leaves, and they eat, and they have a big meal together. And then after that, we had an extra 2 hours of teaching, so I was really exhausted, but it was wonderful. After the service, this is just outside the church on Sunday morning. Somebody, it's a newly believer, he said, you know, he gave his life about 3 months ago, saying, giving testimony of the protection of God. Guess what that is? It's a cobra, very poisonous. So he's cooking in his house, kitchen. Something touched him at the back. He thought it was like a cat tail. He just move away. And then it was kind of slimy. And looked, it was cobra. So he ran, screaming, in the name of Jesus! Bam! Killed it. And he was thanking God for protection. He could have been dead, you know. And then he brought that to pastor. So Aku, pastors, froze it to eat it later. It's about this tall. So it'll become special meal. Giving them health and heat and energy, good for men, all this. So they showed me, you can eat it, praise God. It's good fun. After the Sunday, everything's over now. I'm about to go home. And, one of the pastors tell me, you know that somebody that you went to reach out, somebody had a stroke, so we all need to pray. Okay, good, good. So Monday morning, Pastor Moses come to pick me up, and we had some plans. It's all the change of plan, emergency. That man that had a stroke is hopeless. Like, you know, doctors gave up. He's not waking up. Guess who the man is? It's that man with 12 children. 11 children, yeah. 13 minus 2 is 11. So Moses said, you know, you're here, praise God, Pastor, you're here, and you know, we're gonna go and collect him from the hospital and bring him to his home, and you're gonna pray and raise him. That's the plan. So talk about pressure. Because on Saturday I shared about my, you know, testimony of salvation, shared about my healing. God healed me, and you know, also healings taking place and healing elsewhere. So they're all excited. So, okay, next one. So I'm going into this hospital. It's just really, really touched my heart. This hospital is not the hospital that you know of. Very different. Just a room. I didn't take any photos of the hospital because I don't want to be disrespectful. That man, that's the same man that I saw barely 2 days ago, 2-3 days ago, was there unconscious, breathing. So, you know, there's no hope already. Hemorrhage, too much blood, hemorrhage and so on. So just take him home. So they took him home. If they leave him there, hospital will just do, what do you call, incineration,
cremation.
So they took him home to give him dignity. This is a truck, back of a truck, mat, and they just had a little thin blanket. And those elders, young men, they carried him and put him on the back of the truck. And Zomei is holding the drip just by his hand. You see that? And then we are driving home. And this is not a road like ours. He had a hemorrhage, stroke, and the road is like this. And I'm sitting at the front. Man, if I'm sitting doing this, I'll get a... So we are just praying. Come home. Next one. We got home and the wife came out. And then we are walking to her hut. This is her home. She started beginning to breaking down and crying. So again, unbelievers' home. But, you know, the Christians all went there to, you know, just be there. And I saw the same people. They recognized, you know, our company. And I got to start praying, okay? The plan is to raise him. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, you can do it. You can do this. What's going on? And I feel like God is saying, just start preaching, because he's still conscious. His spirit is in him. You know, when we become unconscious, very often we can still hear, know what's going on. We can't respond. And so, you know, I just started speaking through translation. The spirit of this man is still in him. He can hear. And he was a heavy drinker. In fact, the night before he drank a lot and, you know, he got that stroke. So, you know, you saw me, you all saw me. You know, 3 days ago, God sent me all the way from Australia just to share with you love of God. And we were speaking to him, say, you know, receive Jesus. And then when he comes to you, just follow him to the light. Receive Jesus, follow him to the light. He's got a place for you. And then Moses started just preaching in Burmese, to the people about the gospel. We're into about 10 minutes of preaching. The man suddenly became just quiet. He just went. And the family began to obviously have a very strong reaction. We were right there in the midst. And I don't know for sure what happened there. I can't see his response, but I would like to believe he responded, and you know, he just let go because there's no more reason to struggle. So they all, you know, people began to come in, the sons began to come from the field and everything. They're crying. I was thinking and reflecting. 2 days before his last day, nobody had any idea 2 days before, somehow I was there talking about how wonderful Jesus is, my salvation experience of the love and the peace of God, and how to simply respond to Jesus. And I know he was all smiling, and then he was talking quite positively, but I don't know what happened. God make sure that they have a chance to hear something about Jesus. And even the last moments, we're there just to tell him, urge him, receive Jesus and follow him. And I was thinking, if I came only for that, you know what? I'm happy, actually. I'm grateful I was there. And I'm thinking of, you know, what's happening here. I'm hearing, you know, what's happening with the, you know, outreach on Saturday. I just praise God. So what you're doing, you're reaching out, you're telling somebody about Jesus. It's one life. After that, we came out. Let's give them some room to grieve. And the dead man's sister-in-law said, I believe in Jesus. And then later on, Pastor Joseph said that, you know, another young man came and said, I believe in Jesus. That village was close to Christianity. Now God sort of blew the door open. So after I come here, Pastor Joseph was texting me. The whole group of elders and church people went to his funeral, their house, to share the love of God, share the gospel, just be around them. It's still a Buddhist ritual of burial, but it doesn't matter. Young son came back. He's very tall. I think he's a 22, something like that. As soon as he found out, he was trying to be strong, and he's got to let the landlord know, because they live in, you know, the landlord's property, and the landlord doesn't want any dead person in the house, so he's got to clear it up straight away. And, you know, the cremation cost about 5,000 baht. So he has to let him know straight away. So there's, you know, we go to this big house, and the young man goes in, he comes back out, goes back in, comes back out about 3 times, and find out what happened is that, you know, it requires 5,000 baht, which is about $230-$240 Aussie, to bury him, cremate him, and then provide food and just a ritual. He's got no money. The family has no money. So he's asking, I'll go and get a job, and you know, when I get the money, I'll pay you. He's really stressed. And I prayed about it, and I should just help out. So I gave it to the Pastor Moses, you know. It is, just tell them it's from someone, Jesus talked to someone to help you in his love. So they've done that, and they're now really moving in to testify. And I feel like, Lord, we were there, right there. You know, when I was there in the, you know, just after the man passed away, they all recognized, yeah, you were here on Thursday. You were here to tell us on Thursday. And they're now reaching out to the family. Isn't that just, God is amazing? And I'm watching everything. How could we have timed all this? And I'm thinking, we've got family members. We've got people all around us. And we need to tell people about Jesus. We really need to tell people about Jesus. It's whether they accept it or not, it's up to them. But we have obligation to share the love of God and preach the gospel. Amen. Finally, this one was wonderful. I mean, you know, and then the pastor, this is Pastor Moses, he's saying that, you know, next time you come, you probably see them in our church. Because they're showering them with love of God. You know, where they cannot help themselves, we say, Jesus is sending you this help. We come around them and love them and share the gospel. Already, 2 members of the family said, I believe in Jesus. It's going to begin to work in. And they can now go in as a church and share the gospel more in there. So I was so touched. The wonderful, actually, story, which I'll just shortly share in there, that touched me as well, but the one that touched me most, more than all this, I mean, I don't know which one is more, but this one was also, I felt this is a plan that God had for you know sending me there is that 2 years ago, this is Pastor Joseph, Pastor Moses, Pastor Joseph had to move out of that community church to do a new work, different work, and so on. And unfortunately, there were some misunderstanding and the pains and so on. It doesn't matter whose fault. I'm not gonna get just there were some pain, and because he had to move out, and they live in a family like here. When I can pick on Daryl, when Daryl and Aaron fight in the home, no one knows. They're a good couple. They don't fight, so I can. Yeah, over there when they fight, you hear them. In here, when you are not happy, you just go to the next door church, you move away. Over there, your house is there. Your bamboo house is there. You can't move. So the impact of separation is far more acute. Yet the dependence on one another, the unity is so important as well. Because they actually raise children together. They got community children. And you know the pastors, they got church truck. Bring them all to the school, and they bring them all at the back of the, you know, bus from the school, because they all live in the village, right? If parents move away to preach or do something, they just community just looks after their children as their own children, and they're saying, "I want to go to Burma to preach," and then, okay, we will look after your children. That's the plan: 6 months, 1 year, as a community. When he had to move away, it put a lot of sadness and pressure, and it actually meant very, very deep pain for the elders and on the community, as well as for the pastor's family as well. So I felt that Lord really brought what I didn't do much. I just watched God doing things because you've prayed. You didn't know all the particulars. A few people knew. You all prayed. I know on Saturday night, Friday night, we all prayed overnight. And what God did is we all came together. All the elders and their wife came together. And he said, we need to work together. Pastor Joseph came back. He says, you know, let's go back. He came back to the church to work together. He says, Pastor Joseph, I mean, we talked about the role as a senior advisory pastor, and Pastor Moses is the pastor in charge, responsible for the church, and all the elders and the two pastors, they all said, we're going to stand together. And they were so honoring to one another. Pastor Moses said, you are like a spiritual father to us. We need you. He said, you've planted the church. I want to support you. Your example, the grown men, elders, grown men, they stand up and they speak, tears coming out of their eyes. They all said, this is God. God, this is God's will. This is God's plan. God has spoken to us. God has planned this. It's the right timing. It's the will of God. They all said, we're going to all stand together and we're going to work together. And to me, it was like privilege to be there witnessing such humility, honoring, and healing, and unity coming into the church. And I'm, you know, on the way back home, I'm saying, God, I want that. We want that in here. I want that. It's like, I got to wipe my own nose well. We got to wipe our own nose well in our church. We've got to love one another. We've got to work in unity. We've got to honor one another. We've got to find healing. We've got to make decisions. Whatever we do, we move forward together. Whatever we do, we're going to honor one another. Whatever we do, we will do good to one another. Whatever we do, we honor the Lord. And my prayer has been, Lord, let this unity, prayer for unity, not just being there, but actually being one in harmony, and your blessing be fulfilled all over the world. Include us, oh God, do it here as well. Heal every broken relationships. Let us walk in humility. Let us honor one another. You know, I came back and said, you know what? We're going to really, really aim this year. I really feel the Lord is saying, build the church in such a way that you love and honor one another. Don't allow anything, even your gifting and the dreams and vision. There are plenty of vision, plenty of dreams, plenty of good gifting. But when you put that first,
we divide. No, no. We got to put God's glory first. We got to prefer one another. We got to consider others better than ourselves. And we're going to work together, move together. Amen? Amen? I mean, not that there is no unity here, but we can do better also, isn't it? We can do better. And that's my prayer. And I have not been I'm learning, we're all learning, but we're gonna have the spirit of unity. So next week I want to share about Psalm 133 that I shared in that church. I felt the Lord was giving me this. Edwin shared Psalm 133 on Wednesday wonderfully. I heard a lot of good reports. This is part two on Psalm 133. All right, next week, God willing. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? In fact, why don't we hold hands, you know, across the aisle? Because I want us to, we can partner, we got so much here. It's just a lot of exciting things. But I want to say this is our family. This is family. If you're an employee, if you're, you know, now the culture is like hamburger shopping culture. You go to one shopping center and the other shopping center is bigger. And you go there, right? It's cheaper, all that. But church is not a shopping center. Church is not, you know, oh, over there they offer better food, better service. You know, it's you know, hey, there are plenty of good churches. Why are you coming here? Plenty of better resources, churches, people who can do better, preach 10 times better than me, got a huge healing gifts or whatever. People with great, you know, this and that, but we are here. We are here because we are a family. Because God called us here to create that house where Father is honored and we are loved. We are truly honored and loved, embraced one another, really, and learn Christ's character. Let's just look at one another. Let's take a look at one another. This is what God has given us right now. GI, 6 years old. This is what God has brought us together. This is what God has done in 6 years. And it doesn't matter. To me, church is whatever size that God wants it to be. But if there is genuine love and unity, it's worth being there. Church can be thousands, but if there is no genuine heart of God and oneness, forgiveness, love, Christ-likeness, true serving, serving one another, laying down our own agenda, growing in love with one another, you don't want to be there. It's not worth being there. And my prayer is that we are family. Amen? Let's grow together. Let's accept one another. Let's love one another fervently from pure heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What song do you have? Yeah? Okay. When I sing it once, yeah, let's just keep our eyes on the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, do you know some hymns? As in, I don't know. Oh Lord my God, when I owe some wonder, consider all the years I have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy throughout, throughout. I want us to pray for one another. Yeah? Pray for the person you're holding your hand to. Hallelujah. Maybe we can change the key. Yeah, this is... yeah. One up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just as we play backgrounds. Let's bless one another. Let's really bless one another. Let's pray for one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray for the one on our right? You know, God has a plan for that person on your right. Oh, Jesus died for that person. And Jesus wants that person to feel and experience love of God in His church through you and through me. Hallelujah. God has a bright plan. God has healing. God has a vision for each and every one of us. God has a vision and plan. Hallelujah. God wants every child of God to know how precious they are. But it's through us, through His church, through the body, through your hands and through your actions, through your words. God wants them to feel special, find healing, find purpose in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Rabaraka Sikarabakala. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask your blessing, oh God, upon the person on the right. Hallelujah. Feel free to just maybe pair up and just bless someone. Even for a short word, just bless them. See what God sees in them. God has a great plan for each person. The fact that we are alive means that God's plan is still moving. And we got to see, catch it, what God has. And affirm it. Affirm God's great plan, God's vision, God's love for them. Hallelujah. We want our brothers and sisters to blossom to their full potential of what they're called to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Share something small. All the elders, they stood up and said, we're gonna stand as one. We're not gonna allow any external forces, people from outside, to divide us. And they said that many people have actually been hurt and they left. They said, we're gonna go and get them. We're gonna bring them back. We're gonna bring them back to the church. Hallelujah. That's so beautiful. If there are anyone who has been hurt because of us, let's reach out. I've made some appointments to meet and let's bring healing. Hallelujah. Let's bring back God's people back to His house. Is there people who have left the church because they've been hurt in the church? Let's bring them back with the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
That your great glory, your presence, your power, your mercy, O God, rest upon your people here in GI, Lord, that you will see the true fellowship, unity, and the love of God. And the Lord, that you will command your blessing and life forevermore. Hallelujah. We thank you. The Lord bless you and be with you. His presence, his grace, his glory be upon you and your family wherever you go. Amen. 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 Okay, the Lord bless you. Amen.